engineering manager at Akamai and deal with security on a day-to-day basis as we work with our customers. And today, for the next 15 minutes, I will be talking to you about credential stuffing, the attack, and the associated economies of scale with credential stuffing. Actually, before we even get into it, how many people are familiar with what credential stuffing is? Perfect. There are a few hands up in the air. All right, so for those who are not very familiar with credential stuffing, as OWASP defines it, it's a mechanism to inject or automated injection of usernames and passwords into websites in order to fraudulently gain access to user accounts. And what that means is that users like you and I, our passwords or credentials are out there, and there are attackers trying to hijack those passwords and use them on different websites out there in order to gain access to our accounts. What you see up here on the screen is a big number, 773 million records. But what that really is the scale of a data breach that was reported very recently. And that's not even the tip of the iceberg. It's referred to as collections numbers 1 to 5, and this is just collection number 1. But to give you some context, collection 1 to 5 has 2.2 billion credentials that were made available as a credential list and available out there on the dark web for people to download in plain text for free. And this collection number 1 has 773 million records that was just listed. And the interesting bit of it that boggled my mind was that only 21 million of these passwords were unique. So imagine the amount of password reuse that occurs on the internet today. And what this indicates is that there is a lot of information about us available out there to our attackers. And for context, again, credential abuse or credential stuffing has been around for about 6 to 7 years, but it is gaining a lot of momentum. It is surging in popularity because of these data breaches, because of these huge lists available out there that just make it so much more lucrative for the attackers. And we will talk about it a little more as we proceed with my slides. So let's just take a quick minute to really see what happens once these attackers, once these miscreants get access to these huge lists. They basically use these credentials. They use botnets or all-in-one application tools, which we will also take a look at. And then they start hammering different websites in order to find a match. And once they find a match, they do one of three things. They either sell these same credentials on the dark web, because someone's going to pay them money to forward this or propagate these attacks. They drain these accounts of all the credit card information, all the personally identifiable information, and then they sell that on the dark web. And third, what they could do is use that same information to target these very end users with different attacks and create spamming lists or just further any additional transactions. So what is the real scale of these attacks? In 2018 alone, Akamai saw about 30 billion credential stuffing attempts. And you can see here that on 3 of those days, it peaked to about 250 million login attempts. And a couple of those, October 24th and 27th, were within days of each other. And how does it relate to the media world, to the world that we operate in? Well, we saw that the login attempts grew all the way from 133 million all the way to about 200 million login attempts. And that's huge. And again, what we did realize was these attacks or these attempts kind of matched and synced with a couple of data breaches that were known at that point in time. So the hypothesis is that these attackers were actually trying to test these credentials before they sold them on the dark web. All right. Everybody was very familiar with credential stuffing in the financial services industry because that's where it seemed to be the more lucrative. Cost of selling information could range anywhere from about $1,500 to $2,000 per credential or per user account information. But we did see that media is now the primary targeted industry for credential stuffing. And that number has gone down for financial services to 9% and risen for media to 91%. So why is media such a popular target? I mean, one is the obvious that there is a lot of good information about end users out there just by way of subscriptions. We collect so much information in order for them to subscribe to services. So there is credit card information, there is personal information that can be used to target these end users. And the other is that these same subscriptions can then be sold on the dark web again to provide non-subscribers with access to your content. And that's affecting the bottom line, the brand, and overall revenue that is generated. What enables these attackers then? This is a tool called Sniper, and this is readily available on the internet. It is sold for about $20. It has hundreds of custom configurations, and what that means is that there are configurations created to use this tool to launch attacks on four consecutive targets. And these custom configurations can be used to target specific organizations. And there is a whole community out there. There is a marketplace on which Sniper is available, so it is super easily accessible. And if you take a closer look at this slide, you will see a lot of media companies, a lot of broadcasters, gaming organizations that are listed here. And these are those custom configurations, just a snapshot of the custom configurations. And so that community that is out there, third-party vendors or third-party creators can actually just push their configurations into Sniper, and that becomes available to any attacker that is out there. There is also a YouTube tutorial that can walk you through how to launch Sniper, and that is just available for free. They don't even have to pay any money to get to understand how to use these tools. Let's do the math. Just take an example. If we were to look at 100,000 login attempts, and we were to see a success rate of 1% of these login attempts, and the typical industry rate is about 0.1 to 2%. If we were to take a conservative rate of 1% for just one target site for 100,000 login attempts, the attacker will gain about $1,000. Now think of it across five different targets. Sniper by itself just allows you to target four different sites at one go. That gives you a $5,000 gain right away. And what is the cost of the attack? And this is me inflating the numbers. You include proxies that are used by these attackers in order to launch these attacks, the tool that is again used to launch these attacks, something similar to Sniper. And then, of course, buying credentials on databases. Of course, collections 1 to 5 is available for free, but if there is a database available out there, then costs. So let's put it together as $450. The attacker still stands to make about 10 times the cost. And this is just a very conservative view of what or how lucrative this particular attack vector is. Just to give you a sense of where these attacks originate from and where it's targeted. The US, Russia, and Canada rank as the top three. And the US and Canada are also two of the top three targets, with India sandwiched in there. And those numbers are just staggering. I don't even want to start like citing through them. So what can you do to protect your businesses and organizations? Well, there are two aspects to it. One is, as end users, we heard a little bit about accountability and taking ownership. So as individuals who are logging in, how many of us actually have multiple or different usernames and passwords on all the websites that we access? Or let's put it the other way. How many of us use the same passwords and username credentials on all our websites? I do. And I'm talking about this, so that goes to say, I don't practice very good internet hygiene, but we should. You know, using password managers is a good way to go about doing that, because it's really hard to remember all these different passwords. But as organizations, enforcing multi-factor authentication for your users to log in is a really good way to go about doing or preventing credential stuffing. The other is discourage users to use their email addresses. Oftentimes, you would realize that employees use their official IDs to log into websites that are outside of their VPN or outside of their official setup. And that's not okay. So discourage employees, discourage users to use email IDs, and instead have them create unique IDs. You know, something, my name's Ritika Tandon, I could have Ritika 86 or Ritika Tandon or whatever, but something unique that I need to log in with. The other thing that can be done is put in tools to help with the disambiguation of bots. And what that really means is that because these credential stuffing attacks are aided by botnets, there are ecosystems with bots running out there to hammer these websites. Just identifying a good bot from a bad bot is really important. And the other thing that can be done is putting in tools to detect behavioral anomalies. And what that means is when an attack like this occurs, there would be multiple failed logins as well. And there is a certain norm to the number of failed logins any organization will see on their login pages or on their websites. And so baselining that, baselining what is the norm, and then tagging or alerting against any aberration from that norm is a good way to go about it. And with that, I will wrap this up. I know it was a quick 15 minutes, but hopefully this has been helpful. Hopefully we will all go back and change those passwords, because I will. Thank you very much.
Thank you.